This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is David Powell. David is the COO of Federal Business Council, which is the premier provider of events for the government market, primarily, but not exclusively, IT events, right?
That's right. Thanks, Mark. Glad to be here. Glad to be back.
Good. Tell us a little about FBC and the basic types of events that you guys do.
Well, a lot of people know our name. For those that don't, FBC produces events in the federal space. And we do about 175 events every year, mm-hmm. all varieties, but primarily wrapped around the IT world, the IT security world, and the warfighter equipment world. So we work with most of the companies that sell those items to pretty much every agency, but we're going through throughout the year, in and out of all kinds of agencies across the country. So you can check us out at fbcinc.com.
fbcinc.com. Cool. About how many events do you do every year?
About 175 at this point.
Okay. And you also, and I don't want to overlook a couple of my favorites. You do the Ozdaboo.
That's right. It's coming up again this year in April.
Yep.
21st annual.
Way out there in the middle of nowhere, Virginia. I didn't say that out loud, did I?
Actually, by request, and I think a lot of people like Virginia better for some reason than Maryland, but
it's because those IT companies are in Northern Virginia.
Maybe that's it. But the procurement conference is geared towards all kind of businesses, so it's not just IT.
That's true.
It's everybody that sells something to the government that might be a small business is going to benefit from that event. But I think location in Virginia is better than location in Maryland, and seems to be working out. Even though you and I are both on the same page on this, the more events in Maryland, the better.
Well, yeah, we're both Central Maryland boys.
and we'll continue our campaign to bring more and more meaningful events up to the state of Maryland.
Darn tootin'.
Yeah.
Darn tootin'. And my other favorite it's sort of IT event, the FISEA Conference, the Federal Information System Security Educators Association. You've been doing that with the FISEA folks for how many years?
A lot of years. I don't have an exact number, but
it's like 17
maybe
or 18.
17 or 18 years. That's right. And last year we moved that event over to, we had it at NIH, right around one of the NIH facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Great event, absolutely great event. If that's your niche, that is a fine event to participate in.
Yeah, they're both excellent organizations as well. Let's talk a little bit about what kind of events there are in the government market and why they remain an integral part of the marketing mix.
As you know, there are many, many types of events in the market, and you can pretty much wake up any morning and see there's an event that you can attend if you wanted to. But we put them into a couple of different categories. One are the conferences, agency-specific conferences and agency-driven conferences. So that's one bucket. There's another bucket of expos. And remember, I mean, we've talked about this before. One of the most important things an industry can do is demonstrate to their government counterparts how they can help support the mission, how they can help accomplish what their government counterpart needs to accomplish in their everyday life. So if they're able to articulate that in the context of an event that is specific to what they do, then it's very productive for everyone involved. And it's not just a selling opportunity. It's a information exchange opportunity. It's a way for the government attendee and government participant to get good information about the products and services that they may need or may use to accomplish their mission more efficiently, better, and improve their service to the taxpayer.
Cool. Next type.
Next type is the expo, on-site agency expo. And a lot of people know FBC through our history as producing on-site events in federal agencies.
The half-day tabletops.
Half-day tabletops, usually about 4 hours. You'll see an average of anywhere from 200 to 400 people from the agency that are interested in the specific group that's there. And those are very productive. They serve a certain purpose, and the purpose is to reach the agency specifically on a specific day, provide one day access to the facility, and then develop relationships mm-hmm. and expand relationships. And it's really a relationship development tool that is geared to driving face-to-face interaction.
One of the questions I get on a regular basis from companies that are on schedule and not doing as well as, say, some other companies on schedule is, well, how do they do this? And we've matched data before, you and I, and most of the top vendors from GSA's 70 and Mobus do an extraordinary amount of tabletop type events.
Right. Actually, there's a direct correlation, and I'm not saying that this is the cause. Events are the cause, but
it's
part of the puzzle, and it demonstrates to me the right decision making. But the strength of their positioning on the top sales list is almost a direct proportion to their number of events or participation in events across the schedule. So we can look at how many events a company is doing and somewhat accurately predict how well they're going to do on the sales side.
Okay. And about how many tabletops do you guys do every year?
We'll do about 100 tabletops every year.
Okay. And those are nationwide as well?
That's right.
Okay.
And we usually are they're agency-driven as well, and they're specific to things that are going on at the agency. So they're timing-based. If there's a specific area of interest, that's really what the event's going to focus on.
Cool. Next type of event.
Next type of event is a symposium, okay. Seminar style, where you have attendees sitting in seats and a speaker or a group of speakers. And those usually don't have exhibits. Sometimes they do, but for the most part, this is an information exchange, and people are there to see the speakers and the agenda. And it could be government people in the seats. It could be industry people in the seats. Either way, it's a seminar style of event. And so that's the third style. The fourth style are the large conventions, the FOSI style convention.
You can call them GWAC events. They're for everybody.
Right. They're for
all
everybody.
All agencies, all vendors.
Right. They happen. They're usually a couple of days out of the year. They're in one location. They serve a specific market in terms of its location. And those are that's the fourth style of event. Okay. We generally don't play in that area, but it's out there.
Yeah, and you know they're still there, apparently still viable, I personally think they've seen their day, but that's for another discussion, and I'm not asking for any editorial from you on that. Give me a little bit on the value of the face-to-face aspect here, either anecdotally or however you want to deal with it.
Well, you know, it's an important part of the puzzle. The government sales market is a relationship market. It's very important for a seller to get face-to-face with the buyer. Eyeball to eyeball is where it happens. Handshakes are extremely important. And a lot of the questions that we get are, what about with the rise of social media? How does that play into the event business? How does that affect what you all are doing in terms of getting people together? And I would say it almost drives a stronger demand for events because the communities become clearly apparent with the online and social media. And you're able to see the interaction between people. Ultimately, there is a desire, a basic human need to get face-to-face, to meet people directly. So the social media actually drives the event in terms of how people connect at the event, how they find one another, and then what they talk about. And it's a facilitator because it helps lead up and people have conversations leading up to an event. But people ultimately want to get together, and especially in this marketplace, it's very important for people to get together to discuss what's going on, the lay of the land, meet extra people, look your customer in the eye and let your customer look you in the eye and know that you're for real.
My guest today is David Powell, COO of the Federal Business Council. You can find him at fbcinc.com. When we come back, we are going to delve more into the value of events in the market. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Have Federal News Radio headlines delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
Virginia Senator Mark Warner is encouraging other Virginia officials to keep up the fight to stop the Pentagon from closing the Joint Forces Command. He says the Pentagon needs to be convinced that it makes military and economic sense to keep the command in Hampton Roads open. Defense Secretary Gates announced this month he wants to close the command, which employs 6,000 military and civilian workers. I'm J.G. Green.
If you've ever stumbled in the dark, did you ever stop to think how difficult it is for our military to see what they need to see and nothing else during night warfare? Airink has. Airink provides design solutions for night vision devices, helmet-mounted displays, and laser eye protection, just to name a few. They help all branches of our armed forces to see better, fly and land faster, and most importantly, more safely. Airink helps today's military forces become ready for tonight's warfare challenges. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
It was such a surreal experience to be getting ready for class and then a few hours later being diagnosed with cancer. It's just unbelievable. I was told I had 2.5 years to live.
When John Ivey was diagnosed with cancer, he couldn't afford the medicine he needed.
When it came down to money, it's very devastating. And here's a new drug that's potentially life-saving. And then all of a sudden to be told, you can't afford it, you can't have it. I was dying, and I wanted to live.
John contacted Novartis about the medicine he needed.
They told us to just forget about the money portion of it. They basically eliminated that part of the equation and said, let's just get you well. If it wasn't for people like that, people like me wouldn't be here.
Developing new medicines, getting them to the patients who need them. Novartis. Think what's possible.
Okay, people, let's settle in. We've got a lot of slides to get through on our server utilization strategy. Okay, now this is an interesting
slide. Well, you've been here before. Somewhere in your agency, someone came up with a plan for data center efficiency.
Well, if you look here at the third bullet point, this is...
Actually, what they came up with is a presentation deck. You know, with underlined sections, bullet points, few animations, and sound effects. What's missing, of course, is how the job will actually get done. Because when the federal CIO says data center efficiency is a top priority, you need more than a slideshow. You need results. That's where Dell Services comes in. We've got over 30 years of experience delivering comprehensive, best-in-breed solutions. Whether that's virtualization, cloud computing, or business continuity, we're ready to listen, and we're ready to help you deliver. To learn more, go to Dell.com/deliver now.
Looking for usable news and information that helps you do your job? Tune into In-Depth with Francis Rose every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Francis explores the relationship between agencies and Congress by taking you to the hearing rooms on Capitol Hill and asking questions of federal decision makers and experts. You'll get a first-hand look at how Congress affects your agency's personnel, funding, and oversight. In-Depth also looks at the relationship between agencies and contractors, companies that do billions of dollars of business with the federal government talk about the work they're doing for agencies, the work they're bidding on, and the work they didn't get. And In-Depth will help you be a better manager. Francis talks to authors, scholars, and managerial experts about managing projects, managing your workforce, and managing yourself. In-Depth with Francis Rose, every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is David Powell. David is not only my friend, he's COO of the Federal Business Council, and he's on the what board at the Howard General? hospital now?
The foundation board and
foundation
also
board,
on
yeah.
the board of the hospital.
Yeah, yeah. And when I was over there visiting my mother-in-law last week, lo and behold, there's David leading a tour at, 7 or 8 o'clock at night. Very
that's right.
cool.
That's my after hours, my second job.
There you go. And a good job it is. when we broke the last time, you were just getting into a little bit about what people were looking for in the face-to-face side of our of the venue. The meeting venue. Take it from there.
Okay. Let me dig into that a little bit. Some of the, before we have an event, we always ask our exhibitors or the participants, what are you looking to get out of this event? Why, in other words, why are you doing this event? And what do you need to leave the event with to consider a success? And 90% of the answers revolve around five specific areas. One is, of course, I want to generate sales. Okay. That's a given. The other one is I want to generate appointments and set meetings. The third one, meet new people and meet new contacts. Who do I sell to? I need to know who to sell to. So the first two don't happen until you know who to do that with. So that's a very important objective. The third one is to find open opportunities through word of mouth and just discussion, just open conversation with people about what's going on at the agency. And then the fifth one is industry teaming partners. So I want to meet other companies that I can team with. I may not have the quals to do this specific, I may not be on this specific contract, but I can team with a company that is and get the business through that. So these are all relationship-driven objectives. So back to your point about, or your question about, why do people do events? What is the what's
where's
behind
the rubber meet the road,
right?
Yeah.
And it's really about developing relationships, and it's not just the industry to government relationship, it's industry to industry. It's getting an awareness of the agency and understanding what they're looking for.
Well, especially on IT vehicles,
right?
Most, you know, the schedule only accounts for about $17 billion of IT sales. And that's less than, you know, it's about a fifth.
That's
of the
a
total.
Pretty big pie,
yeah.
though. I mean, that's a lot.
That's a big pie. But, you know,
right.
when you're talking about the teaming arrangements, that's where the rest of the money's getting spent on IT.
Right, right. So developing situational awareness of your specific target agency is extremely important. And, you know, when we, this is another area that we've discussed in the past, the government is not one customer. It's many, many, many individual customers inside of one umbrella. So, you know, everybody buys differently. Everybody has different needs. Each agency has its own specific way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not in tune with that, it's very difficult to navigate. One of the ways to get in tune with that is to be present, engage, be visible at the agency, and own that agency from a marketing point of view. And events are a piece of the puzzle of getting that done.
Right, exactly, and I think growing in significance for those who are developing the better marketing programs. So
I would agree with that.
I would assume you would, but that leads me to you know something else that we've done. You know, we've discussed all of this stuff many times, and we should actually probably burn some CDs on this as well soon, but. When, number one, there's a ton of events out there.
Right.
And there's events produced by really good companies, there's events produced by okay companies, and there's events produced by companies that weren't here yesterday.
Right.
And won't be here tomorrow. How do you find the right events?
To me, the key is who's behind the event. And if it's an agency-driven event, then it's usually going to be good if it meets your specific purpose. And your specific purpose is driven by the content of the event. So does the content match what you sell?
Okay.
Okay. And if
yeah.
if the content matches what you sell, the event then can provide context for your message. So the idea is to create context for your marketing message and develop that and put that in front of a group that cares that you're out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they care because you match what they do. Now, okay, so that's a complex way of saying find the events that match what you do and go
and
do them.
And who you sell to.
And who you sell to, right. And that's another part of the event selection piece, and that is, you know, who is in your market? What does your marketing plan define as your market? And if you're going after the entire government, we probably have to nail that down just a little bit and develop some specific agency targets. Once you find an event that's in that slice that has the right content, that can provide context for your message, that's supported by the agency or agency-driven, that's a good event for you.
Okay. Now, I usually refer to this as the pedigree of the producer. And over the years, there have been people producing events who've been under indictment for fraud. And we will not get into naming them today.
Nobody in this room.
Nobody in this room. And my son's in this room with us. He hadn't been indicted yet either. Preferably never will. But I mean, there's been some true slime balls out there trying to claim fame to producing events. And I've seen, you know, keynote speakers from major agencies. And when I call these people and say, I didn't know you were going to be there. And I go, where? You know, they have no clue. It's not on their calendar. They never heard of the producer. They never heard of the event.
You're singing a song that we like to hear, but the point of the whole thing is events need to be good across the board. We want all events to be strong, and we want them all to deliver the results that they're promising to deliver. The problem is that sometimes you get companies that are coming into the market opportunistically that want the quick hit. They want to do one or two events, and they don't really have a vested interest in the marketplace itself. Mm-hmm. There's no longevity.
Or a continuing interest in the marketplace.
Or continuing interest.
They may be a real event company, but they only come here
opportunistically, right. Yeah. They see something that they can slip in on, and they do that. That doesn't really benefit anyone. So when you're talking about pedigree, I know that you're referring to length of time in the business and in the marketplace.
Right.
How long has
the company been around, but how long has the event been around? And
right.
To get back to your previous point, is it, you know, an event that was started by the agency? Is it an agency-driven event?
Right. And usually that provides the right context for your message. And it also ensures that there is involvement by the agency itself, and that lends credibility to the event. So really makes it much more productive for all involved. Mm-hmm. But in terms of companies coming in and out, yeah, that happens. And that's part of why event selection is so important. And knowing who you're doing the event with is very important. There are a few companies that have been around a long, long time in this marketplace and do great work. And, if you just focused your attention on those companies, you'd have more than enough events to handle. But, so just beware of those onesies or twosies. And if you have any other questions or if you need clarification on who is in this market for the long haul, I know, Mark, that you're willing to provide answers
I'll
for anyone.
Call, so, yeah,
or, anyone can contact me.
You can find David at fbcinc.com. You can find me at federaldirect.com or federaldirect.net. And I will answer the questions very directly. David will be much more politically correct in his answers, as he always is.
I have to. You're allowed to.
We have different roles.
Take liberties.
we have different roles. And that's always been the way it is, and always going to be. I want to get into event selection, but we're running out of time this segment, so we're going to make the next segment a little bit longer. My guest today is David Powell. He's the COO of the Federal Business Council. When we come back, we're going to talk about the criteria that you should develop yourself for event selections. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Half Price DC's Labor Day clearance sale is on now. Gift certificates that were already half price are now up to 94% off face value. That's up to 94% off gift certificates to restaurants, spas, retail stores, and more, all with no shipping or processing fees. The Half Price DC Labor Day clearance sale ends Sunday, September 12th, and supplies are limited. So buy your gift certificates today. Clearance sale prices up to 94% off face value. only at halfpricedc.com. Here's Hillary Ward, Director, Global Head of Managed Identity Services at Citi Global Transaction Services, commenting during the panel discussion on trust in the Internet. Is trust the next killer app? Brought to you by Booz Allen Hamilton.
We manage risk. It's underwriting. I mean, this is the basics of what we do. And so we're managing risk. And if we manage risk, we also manage it through the enterprise and in our applications. And it's just a matter of how much the risk is in that application as to who you're going to let see it and how you're going to let them get there.
To hear this show in its entirety, go to FederalNewsRadio.com, keyword Booz Allen.
Securing identities in transactions is an essential component to building trusted online systems and a critical priority for both business and government. Trusted online environments can reduce costs, expand services, and are critical to protecting how and with whom information is shared. Booz Allen Hamilton has developed an integrated approach to cybersecurity, identity, systems development, and trusted services. Booz Allen is ready for what's next. Learn more at BoozAllen.com/expertvoices.
If you work for or have worked for the federal government, I want to tell you about an organization that's been around for over 80 years. It's NARF. Organized in 1921 to protect and enhance the retirement and health benefits of federal employees, NARF wants you to know that laws can change and so can your retirement security. Protect it by joining NARF, the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. That's www.narfe.org. Or call 1-800-627-3394 and ask them to send you some information. Join now. NARF, your best retirement investment.
Federal News Radio now has an iPhone app where you can listen to Federal News Radio, read Mike Causey's daily columns, and listen to interviews from all of your favorite shows on demand, like The Federal Drive, The Dora Beck Insider, In Depth, and Your Turn. Stay on top of the latest news affecting the federal government and contracting community, all from the palm of your hand. And the best part? It's free and easy. Just go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is David Powell. David is the COO of the Federal Business Council, and you can find him at fbcinc.com.
Back again.
Back again. There we are. How does one select events? Now, I'll start off this part very briefly again. It starts with a pedigree, because if you're targeting the right agency and it's not the right producer, there's no guarantee the right people are going to show up. So let's talk again a little bit about the relationship between an event producer and the government.
Well, the longevity issue in the marketplace really makes a difference, and here's why. As event producers go throughout the life cycle of not only an event but multiple events, they maintain continuous relationships with their government counterparts, and that matters in terms of developing the strength of the event, developing the future of an event, and also isolating what specific industry support is going to make that event a success.
You guys have an entire team led by your partner, Michael.
That's right.
That does nothing but maintain.
That's right. That's all they do, and that's a lot. I shouldn't say all they do, but that is the...
Well, it is all they do.
Right.
But it is a lot to do.
It's a lot to do,
they
exactly.
They don't need to do more.
Right. It keeps them very busy, and it's really the core of our business in terms of creating meaningful events that make sense to both sides of the marketplace. That's some of the reasoning behind the pedigree discussion that we've had. It has to do with long-term relationships. It has to do with understanding of agency needs and then developing a product. And by product, I mean an event that is a programmable, meaningful event that really answers the questions that need to be answered for the agency. Because remember what an event is. Most events are really designed to disseminate information, to share thought on a specific area of thought, and also do that in a face-to-face format so that exchange can happen and synthesis can happen. So the event itself has to be structured to do that. That's part of what what has to happen. But there needs to be an understanding of the agency need and the reality in order to make that happen. So that's really where the relationship starts to really help create the quality of the event.
Okay. Now let's get down to, you know, a couple of very particular items that listeners can take to start to develop their criteria for selecting the event beyond the pedigree. So
okay. A couple of different things in terms of criteria, but before I get into that, let's talk about, or just want to mention, you know, there's no definitive source per se of every event that's out there in the federal space.
No.
You can't go to one place and look. There is an event website called govevents.com.
Yeah, yeah. She's doing a good job. I can't remember the lady's name.
Right. But. Well, it's a great program that she's got going, and it is a consolidator of event information. And the event producers that are in there have been vetted to some degree, so it's a pretty good source. And there are a lot of events listed in there.
Mine too.
Yours too. There you go. You can also take a look at FBC Inc., and that event list is constantly updated. Events are added every day. Remember that the event cycle in federal is a lot shorter. In the commercial sector, you might have a year to plan for an event. In the federal world, once an agency says, I want to have an agency mission-specific event, usually there are anywhere from 180 to 90 days prior to the event. So it's not a long lead-up. So you need to stay in tune with what's coming out.
You need a little fluff in your marketing budget, too, just in case.
Right. You need to plan for that. It's absolutely essential. Otherwise, you'll miss the good stuff that comes out, you know, just prior to an event happening. So in terms of event selection, where do you want to head with that?
Well, we did the pedigree. You know, I've had people say, you know, I've gone to the Ostabu events and I never got anything out of it. And my first question usually is, do you know how to speak to an Ostabu? Second question is, did you talk to somebody from an agency that actually needs what you sell?
Well, that's an important nuance there. Most people go into an event knowing what they sell very well. The problem is that they don't know whether the agency is buying what they sell, how they buy what they sell, or who buys what they sell within the agency. So there are a couple of questions that, you know, I think it's very important to have clear beforehand, and that those are event-specific questions. What do I need to accomplish here? Who do I need to meet? What do I need to walk out of this event with to consider as a success? Those are secondary to which events should I do, and the which events should I do flow directly from a company's marketing plan and a strategic direction. Because if a company tries to take on an entire government sales program, companies like IBM or the very large, very sophisticated federal marketers have it very well segmented, and they know specifically who they're selling to. If you talk to one of their salespeople, they'll tell you to the geographical boundary,
right,
and the specific agency level that they're selling to. So they know specifically who it is.
Desk and chair level.
Right, exactly. So if you ask them, you know, what are your objectives for the show, it might be very, very specific. I want to meet this one person. I need a new name for a new replacement of this. I want this person to introduce me to the, you know, it's very, very specific. The more specific you can get on that, the better. So it flows directly from your company marketing plan. And event selection really is driven down from there. And if you have specific agencies, then locations within a specific agency, it's very easy to take a look at the list of events that are available out there and choose the ones that make a difference.
Right, and we touched on this but didn't get explicitly to it. It's important for sales or marketing people to ask salespeople which agencies are the sweet spot and what events are you hearing about that maybe we haven't.
Right. And in federal sales, you know this, it's not just who do you want to sell to, but who's buying. You know,
who's got the bucks?
Right. Who's got the bucks? Who's actually bought what you sell in the past? And it may not be the glitzy new agency, or it may be too early in the cycle in a agency's buying cycle to sell something today that won't be bought until 2 years from today, just because of how the agency procures. So There's a lot of forces in play here, and it's the coming together of all of these different elements of information that help you decide the specific right event that you know that event is right for me.
Right.
Now, if you have a PR objective and just a communications objective, you want to get the name out there. You want to
create awareness.
Right, create awareness. Even that needs to be dialed down to the specific agency or group of agencies. And then from there, you work to develop the event schedule and look for all the events that cover those agencies.
Right, and that becomes, I think, even more important when you're not going to use the broader-based PR because of who's buying and what you sell. So, for instance, in certain military situations and certainly in the intel situations, it's important to get your name out to very specific audiences without maybe using traditional methods, you know, right. No billboards, no space ads, et cetera.
Well, in a lot of groups, traditional methods don't work. And you know this, there are a number of agencies that don't accept direct mail, that don't allow any type of open advertising inside of the gates of the agency, and they don't take out or inbound phone calls from the outside world. Mm-hmm. So how do you reach that agency? I mean, how do you actually get there? And it's, as a marketing challenge, it's as tough as they get. How do you sell to somebody that you can't communicate with?
How do you learn a secret handshake if you don't know anybody that does
it? Right. It's a tough one. And the good news is that people in those agencies that have that type of reality have realized that they need to do some sort of outreach to bring companies in that that have products that can move them forward in terms of the mission and accomplishment of the mission. So those outreach efforts usually take the form of events and industry days. And if you don't participate in those, you're absolutely missing the chance to communicate with that agency, unless you have another way to do it. And if that's the case, then go for it. But they're very, very challenging in terms of getting in the door. And if you do see an outreach-driven event, it's usually because that is a difficult agency to access, and they are looking for something specific.
Okay.
And those are the ones that you need to jump onto. Without hesitation.
Right, and you have to jump onto them without hesitation because those are the ones that usually sell out fastest as far as exhibit space go.
Right, and people that are in the commercial world really find this hard to understand, but in the government world, space is very limited. It's extremely quick to sell out and because there are very rare opportunities to get in front of these audiences. And the people that know that knows specifically that this is a good opportunity will jump on it right away. The newcomers to the market tend to hem and haw a little bit because they don't understand the value of that specific agency-driven interaction and how important that can be in shortening their sales cycle.
Point. My guest today is David Powell. David's the COO of the Federal Business Council. You can find them at fbcinc.com. When we come back, we're going to have a couple of examples of companies that have leveraged, at least in part, events to grow their businesses. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The latest from the Federal Security Spotlight brought to you by Cisco.
There's honor among hackers and a well-organized business plan. Here's Colin Clark, Vice President and Senior Cybersecurity Analyst at Forrester Research.
I haven't seen any organization like this where they've got SLAs that within 12 hours, if this type of malware doesn't work for you, we'll generate a new one for you. That's the kind of support that they're providing to people who buy malware from them.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
Listen next week for the Business of Government Hours Conversation with Author series, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness. What is cloud computing? How can states use process improvement methods to transform service delivery? And how is geographic information systems used to enhance citizen engagement? Next week's show will profile three IBM Center reports and explore these issues with Dr. David Wild, Dr. Vicki Grant, and Professor Sukumar Ganapati. Join host Michael Keegan next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Department of Homeland Security CIO Richard Spires will discuss the department's $6.4 billion IT investment and a status update on major contracts within the department at a breakfast event hosted by INPUT, the Authority on Government Business, on October 5th at the Ritz-Carlton in McLean, Virginia. John Sly, Principal Analyst for INPUT, will also identify major technology investments within the department. To register, go to dhsbreakfast.input.com or call INPUT Events at 703-707-3698.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is David Powell. David's the COO of the Federal Business Council. You can find him at fbcinc.com. And in this segment, David, I'm going to lead off with a story that we both know pretty well.
Sure.
Back in the 90s, I was advising Micron, not the chip folks, but the personal computer part, MPC. Their main competition was a little company called Dell, and there was this other company back then called Gateway. So there was three major providers of direct sell computers. Now, I'm not leaving out Compaq, Hewlett-Packard, and IBM intentionally, but you know, their main competition was Dell and Gateway. When we started there, they had mindshare in five agencies. And the COO was a former Dell guy, and he wanted to compete on all fronts. And then, you know, Harry Heisler, fortunately, was the GM of the government division. He said, no, we'll do what Amtower says. We'll focus on these five agencies and see what we can do. And they targeted via a lot of your events.
Right.
Just that. And they grew by a factor of like three in 2 years.
Right. And they targeted specific agencies that matched up with their marketing plan, things that we've been talking about. And I know that you were working with them very directly on their marketing plan and who they should go after based on historical purchasing, where they had an install base. And their strategy, if you recall, and I'm sure you do because you helped write it, but was to maximize their presence at agencies where they already had business. So they had a new market share within an agency strategy. And I'm not sure if they were pursuing new agency business at that point.
I don't think
in
so.
Other agencies. I think they were just specifically looking to max out the business that they were doing in those specific agencies. And their strategy worked beautifully. I mean, it was I know that they were very happy with the results.
And they didn't have to do, you know, 50 events a year. They did those agencies
only. Right. Those events only. And I think I don't remember the numbers, but specifically they grew their business by, you know, factors of, you know, 200-300% in a very short period of time. And
short period,
I think, anybody
of time
would,
in the government
sense. And it's not like they started with one seat and they went to three seats. They basically became the computer supplier for those agencies. And anytime anybody in those agencies bought a new seat, they would order it directly from them, and it was
either a desk or a lap.
Yeah. I mean, that was a fantastic program.
Yeah.
I know they talked about that for a long time in terms of a best practice and a way to actually go after government.
Yeah, it was also a very small team. You know, Harry had Tony Colangelo and Ron Clevenger, and Ross Ely was the marketing guy. They had some other field salespeople, mm-hmm. but it was, compared to a lot of other organizations, it was a very, very compact
right.
group.
Well, and you touched on it earlier. Their marketing person worked very closely with their sales director, and they listened to one another.
Yep.
And they worked together, and they got the message delivered in a way that worked for sales. So the competing interests in all of the events is the marketing objective is not always in sync with the sales objective. I got to sell something on the sales. I mean, I have a quota. I need to meet a goal.
Right.
Marketing person, brand recognition, awareness, that's how they want to measure. Those two goals need to come together in terms of events. And when they do, that's really where we see significant results.
Yeah, we saw the same thing a decade later in our mutual friends at CDW when Anne-Marie still runs marketing. Mm-hmm. But Max Peterson, who's now at Dell, ran civilian sales, or all government sales actually, at CDWG for several years. But they worked very closely mm-hmm. together.
Yeah, and they grew significantly when they were doing their, I don't know what you'd call it, maybe their growth push or their growth mode.
Well, there was a huge focus on the G side because it was the fastest growing segment of that company.
And they really went after it, and they really grew significantly as a result of that. That's an example of a team working extremely well together, leveraging events where they made sense. And then when they were in event, if they did participate in an event, they really did a lot of things to make sure that they were the most visible participant in the event. I mean, they really went all the way to make sure that they were the one that got noticed, or you know,
bags,
got the most
banners. Yeah,
right. Remember the infamous battle of the bags, and you know, it was fun. People remember it. I mean, we're talking about it today, and
gave me a whole new
10 years
to write
later,
about.
Right?
Yeah.
So it was a fun time, and I know that they got a lot out of the events that they did, and they really looked at it pragmatically and looked at the results that they were getting from it and decided to continue. So based on the results they were getting, they said, this is working, let's do some more. And I think that made a big difference to them in terms of their belief in the model. But again, it's one tool, one piece of the arsenal in terms of going after federal.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people still think of, especially the tabletops, as these secondary or tertiary events, but you know, there have been stories over the years, and I've verified these with the sources. The one tabletop where we sold, or somebody sold, how many laptops do we even remember?
It was around 6,000 laptops last minute. This was during one of our four-hour tabletops at the end of the show. And I'm not saying this is the thing that happens every day or every time, but if this company wasn't there, they definitely wouldn't have gotten this business. The person came running in at the end of the show as companies were breaking down.
Some company had already vacated.
Right. And the one laptop provider was there still, you know, looking for business. And this person came in with a PO in hand and said to one of our show managers, which one of these, you know, do any of these companies sell laptop computers? And the one that was left...
Last man standing.
Right. The guy walked over and placed an order on the spot for 6,000 laptops.
Yeah. And you were just telling me on the break something happened in Alaska last week.
Right. We had a set of events up in the bases in Alaska. And one of our exhibitors towards the middle of the show tells us that he just got an order on the spot from one of the base commanders for $500,000 in their product. So
paid for the event.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that's not bad ROI. You know, there are times where the sales cycle takes a little bit longer, as we all know in government. But when you can get those quick hits and the quick purchases, the needs-based purchases, that's great. And that is a direct result of being present. Timing is everything. This vendor was engaged with that agency at that show. They happened to have the product that they were looking to buy right then, and they were successful.
Right, and you know, the competitors are going to go, oh, they were just lucky. You know, well, you know, part of luck is being there.
Right, part of luck is being there, part of luck is timing. So the objective of getting out there and getting in front of the customer is real. You have to do that. And it's not all, let me connect with you on Facebook and we'll see if we, you know, I don't know how much selling gets done on social media, but a lot of people are relying on that today to be their relationship tool. as you know, it's a face-to-face market.
It is a face-to-face market, and I'll tell you one of the things that I do whenever I go to a face-to-face event and I come home with those cards, the first thing I do is connect with those people on LinkedIn and invite them to join one of my groups so I can stay in touch with them.
Right.
It's a supplementary activity. It's not a primary activity.
Right. It's absolutely, it contributes to the whole experience. Eventually, people need to get face-to-face. It's basic human nature. And the fact is, you'll sell more face-to-face than you will in other means in this marketplace.
Cool. Final thoughts?
I think events are extremely valid in terms of their value to the sales ecosystem in federal space. And give us a call, and we'll help you through event selection or any of these things or
advise
you
on it.
Number is 800-878-2940. And you'll be guided through where to go from there.
Voice prompt?
Voice prompt, or actually a live person will probably pick up the call. But if a live person doesn't pick up, you can easily walk through the system and get to the right place.
Or go to fbcinc.com and shoot them an email.
That's it.
David, thanks.
Always a pleasure. Yes, having fun, and thanks for having me in again.
You bet. You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest has been David Powell of the Federal Business Council. And again, you can find David at fbcinc.com. This is not my day job. If you need some of the best marketing advice available, give me a call. You can find me at federaldirect.net. And remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off center. With AmTower.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.